You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Wikipedia is the fifth most visited website in the world. And quite frankly, it's a great way to get a quick overview of a lot of different topics. But most schools and universities discourage the use of Wikipedia as a source in research projects out of concerns about accuracy and reliability. Well, for better or for worse, a new study finds that Wikipedia is shaping science, influencing the ideas that get investigated and incorporated into our collective body of knowledge. Neil Thompson is an assistant professor of innovation and strategy at the MIT Sloan School of Management, and he's co-author of the new study. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Where did you get the idea to look at the impact of Wikipedia on science?
So I think this was really driven by seeing in my life and in the lives of the academics around me, people using Wikipedia all the time. And, you know, as you said, it's the fifth most visited website in the world. But very rarely do people cite it. And in fact, people have done research on this, and it turns out that one in 1,000 academics actually cite Wikipedia. So it's just a very, very rare thing.
I mean, is it kind of like the third rail? You wouldn't dare want to cite Wikipedia because you'd
exactly
look like that, you didn't know what you were researching.
Right. You're supposed to be the expert. You shouldn't need to go look up something on Wikipedia. And so there's this disparity, right, that there's a sense of this should be important given how much people use it, but we don't actually see that showing up. And so I thought, well, if we did something clever to try and get at how much of an effect it is, could we actually see that?
All right. So how did you actually test the influence of Wikipedia on science? I mean, that seems like it's impossible to actually get at.
It seems like it would be hard, right?
Especially because if nobody's citing it. Like, how do you track it?
Exactly. And so what we did here is we actually had some PhD students in chemistry go and write 43 brand new articles on chemistry. So we did this big survey ahead of time, and we figured out some topics that were missing from Wikipedia. And then we had them write 43 of those. And then we randomly picked 22 of them to add to Wikipedia, and we held 21 back as a control group. And we looked at the actual words in those articles, and we looked at, do those words start appearing in the scientific literature more if they were in our treatment group than if they were in our control group?
And the end result is?
They do show up more, indeed.
I mean, how strong is that effect?
Well, so it's, you should think about it as sort of 1 in 300 meaningful words. So what do I mean by that? Well, a meaningful word, like when we did this analysis of the words that are used in both, we wanted to be really careful not to just pick up, you know, I use the word and or to or the, right? Using that, that's not very meaningful to science. We want to pick up those words like, you know, enzyme or catalyst or something that is a scientific word that has some meaning. So we focus on those words, and we see that about 1 in 300 of those gets changed by this addition.
I'm talking with Neil Thompson of MIT's Sloan School of Management about his research showing that Wikipedia is being used by scientists and, in fact, shaping the scientific literature. Is there a difference in the effect, you know, in different fields? I guess you were basically looking at chemistry, but if you were to do this survey and look around the world maybe or in different fields of science, are more people of a certain type or in a certain location using Wikipedia?
Yeah. So what we looked at in particular was this question about the sort of access that we would expect people to have to other sources of scientific knowledge. And so, you know, we know that unfortunately many journals have prices attached to them and some people can't afford those. And so what we did is we looked at different academics in different parts of the world, and we focused on sort of the GDP per capita of those places, so how rich they are, as a way of figuring out, well, would they be likely to have access to these journals? And what we see is that there is some effect on science even in sort of the top 25% of countries. But as you go down to the next 25% and the next 25%, that effect just gets bigger. So it seems like the people with less access to this information are able to use it even more. And so it's an even more potent resource for them.
So spreading scientific knowledge to a broader population that might not have access to those journals because of cost reasons, that seems like a good thing. But as we've already said, most colleges, universities, schools, even elementary schools say don't cite Wikipedia because it's not reliable. Is there a concern that scientists, by using Wikipedia, are introducing error or inaccuracy into science?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things we could say about this. I mean, one is that, you know, work was done a while back looking at the error rate in Wikipedia against other encyclopedias that were written by experts, and they found that the rates were fairly comparable. So it's not obvious to me that there are going to be more errors in Wikipedia than elsewhere. But I actually think that there's a bigger point here about us starting to embrace Wikipedia. Even though we seem to be discouraging people, what clearly is happening is that scientists are using this. And so I think rather than saying, well, let's put on the brakes, nobody use Wikipedia, I think we as a scientific community have to say, let's embrace Wikipedia and make it better and make us more and more confident that it is going to be reliable in the ways that we care about. And that's, of course, going to be involved with us getting in there and making edits and making contributions.
And then take Wikipedia use out of the closet.
Exactly.
On the flip side of that, you've said that Wikipedia is not necessarily less accurate than other encyclopedias. But one thing that we know, while Wikipedia is theoretically open to pretty much anybody who would want to be an editor, the actual most active editors of Wikipedia tend to be a fairly small group, and they are not in any way, shape, or form representative of the broader population. Is there the possibility in this model of introducing bias? I mean, and we should acknowledge that, of course, the scientific body, scientists as a whole, are not representative of the broader population either. But is there a possibility of introducing bias just as a dint of who is actually doing the editing at Wikipedia?
Yeah, so I don't think that our study sheds any particular light on that specific question. But, I mean, one of the things that I think we definitely can say is that we would want that editor pool to be more representative. And, you know, there are lots of ways that we would want that to be true. But, in fact, a very specific way that relates to the science is actually the technical background of the people on Wikipedia. And so we noticed that, you know, maybe half of the people who edited our articles actually had a specific chemistry background, at least listed on their editor page. And so, you know, that's something where I would love for that to be in chemistry, to be everybody has a really strong chemistry background, to have chemistry professors who are the ones who are doing that editing. And I think that also would sort of push in this direction of having more reliability in those articles.
My guest is Neil Thompson of MIT's Sloan School of Management. You've already talked about some of the economic issues around our current scientific publishing model and the fact that journal subscriptions are extremely expensive. Many top libraries even find some of the subscription fees difficult to meet. And this has spawned this whole open access movement, the idea that scientific journals and the scientific literature should be a public good and free and open to the public. How does the idea of using Wikipedia fit with the idea of open access? I mean, is this a complete short circuit way to get to the open access idea?
Yeah, so I think that they're certainly complementary. I think that there's some sound historical economic reasons why journals were closed, because of course it cost a lot of money to print them. And, you know, what we can definitely see is this transition moving to more open access. But I think what excites me about the Wikipedia side of this is maybe we don't need to wait and have absolutely every detail in the open right away. Maybe we can, as an interim step, say, let's get a good Wikipedia article on all these topics, because often if you read the broad overview, that takes you a long way to starting to understand it, right? And I think of this in terms of scientists often have these review articles where someone will go back and look at maybe 100 or 200 articles and say, here's what these articles are telling us. And lots of people use those as a reference for what's happening. Well, this is a little bit the same way, right? Wikipedia can be this set of these overview articles that the scientific field can use. That could be pretty valuable for them.
Finally, in the paper that you wrote about this, you mentioned that public knowledge repositories, public goods as a whole, tend to be undervalued in markets, and that often governments take on that role of funding some of these public goods, and they do this in various ways within the scientific enterprise. Are you suggesting that Wikipedia should be government-funded as a public good in science?
There's a lot of feelings both ways around on that topic, so I won't wade too deeply into that, but I would say that I think government can play a role in encouraging academics to do this, right? They are a big provider of grants. They have lots of opportunities. And so I think there's a place for government advocacy in pushing scientists to enrich this public resource for science, because I think it helps people a lot.
That's Neil Thompson of MIT's Sloan School of Management, co-author of a new study showing that not only do scientists use Wikipedia and it reflects science, but it is also shaping science. Neil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, author Dava Sobel on Harvard Observatory's first women scientist, how much has changed, and some of what hasn't. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.